I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, August 18th. National Weather Service says break from heat arrives. Forecast calls for cooler-than-average temperatures, chance of rainfall. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Anyone in Midland ready for cooler-than-normal temperatures and a chance of showers for at least the next week? That is what the National Weather Service is reporting. And while the chance of 100-degree weather is not over, quote, it would be more difficult, according to Devin Chahak, general forecaster at the National Weather Service's Midland office. The National Weather Service showed the high temperature on Tuesday reached 88 degrees, which was the first high temperature less than 90 degrees in Midland since June 3rd. The forecast calls for highs in the upper 80s and lower 90s through at least Tuesday. Chahak said this week that short-term temperatures will stay below normal for this time of year as Midland gets into the extended forecast. He said in September there is the potential for temperatures to warm up above normal. As far as 100-degree temperatures go, there have been 34 recorded this year at the National Weather Service office at Midland International Airport. That total would rank tied for ninth for the most all-time in Midland. The National Weather Service website shows 100-degree days are not rare in September, having happened every day but three, and that 100-degree days have happened in Midland as late as October 8th. Midlanders can also look forward to the chance of rain for at least the next week. The National Weather Service reported 0.02 inch fell at Midland International on Tuesday, and the forecast calls for a 40% chance on Thursday and Friday and a 30% chance on Saturday. The National Weather Service reports that 2.25 inches of precipitation have fallen through August 16th of this year. That total is 6.25 inches below normal. Midland County has issued a burn ban for county residents. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows exceptional drought conditions covering most of the region, including Midland-Odessa, and the Keach-Byram Drought Index Scale shows Midland to be approaching 700, 694 on Wednesday. The KBDI states a reading of 600 to 800 is often associated with more severe drought with increased wildfire occurrence. Intense, deep-burning fires with extreme intensities can be expected. Live fuels can also be expected to burn actively at these levels. Quote, everything is pointing to a raining period, Chahak said. Most days in next week have a chance of rainfall. Hopefully get some rain out of it. The only caveat is it will be hit or miss, end quote. Bishop files for another 4 years on MISD board. He is committed to supporting our local teachers and safety, security of students. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Tommy Bishop is the longest-serving member of the Midland ISD Board of Trustees, and he is looking for another term. Bishop represents District 3, which includes mostly southwest Midland. That area is bordered by Andrews Highway to the north, Midkiff from Andrews Highway to Illinois Avenue, and Midland Drive from Illinois to Wall Business 20 to the east. He has represented the district since 2006, and if he wins election, he will have the opportunity to complete 20 years as a board member. Joining Bishop on the District 3 ballot so far are Reagan Hinojos and Tim Lurley. The sign-up period to put a name on the local ballot continues through Monday. Election day is November 8th. Quote, our community, as well as our school district, have had a hard few years, Bishop said in a letter to supporters that he also sent to the Reporter-Telegram. Continuing the quote, I hope to stand with all of you as we find solutions to unify and progress at MISD, end quote. In his letter, he touts his 26-plus years in education, as he also served on the Crane ISD board prior to coming to Midland. His participation in school events and quarterly meetings he holds with constituents. He also noted that schools in his district have all shown improvement and none are failing. Quote, "They are all seeing academic progress with the help of our fantastic teachers," Bishop said. "As we move forward, I am committed to supporting our local teachers over the outsourcing to charter schools. In addition, I would like to see us concentrate on our existing facilities in such a manner we are all proud of the campuses in our district. I believe we owe this commitment to our taxpayers and hope to regain their trust in our ability to care for our investments," end quote. Bishop also stated that safety and security will, quote, "remain on the forefront as we seek new ways to protect our children while allowing them the freedom to feel comfortable at school. Discipline is an element of this, and I plan to push for new solutions as many have voiced concerns in this area," end quote. Midland ISD's website shows the former Sul Ross State University football and baseball player retired from Chevron after 27 years with the company's exploration and production division. He also worked as a safety and manager at Bison Trucking, a division of Mammoth Energy. Bishop currently owns T-Bone's Barbecue and Catering, according to the website, and other community participation includes membership in 4-H, FFA, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and the City of Midland 4B Board. Bishop is a member of True Light Fellowship Church and is married to Claudine Bishop. They have three children, Nathan, Ebony, and JD, and a grandson. Peyton calls for industry to take lead in ESG talks. He urges radical middle to combat extremists on both ends of spectrum. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Representatives of an oil and gas industry buffeted by extreme views on both ends of the spectrum were encouraged Wednesday to take the lead in conversations about how they operate. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton opened the final day of the Produced Water Society Permian Basins Conference at the Horseshoe, calling for a return to what he calls the radical middle. Quote, "We have left the realm of having conversations with people we disagree with," he said. "We don't sit across the table and tell someone, help me understand where you're coming from," end quote. "When it comes to oil and gas and produced water," Peyton continued, "those same extremes mean there are no discussions about the issues and no moving forward." He recounted a meeting in Austin in 2018 as environment, social, and governance was beginning to gain traction, listening to oil and gas investors talk about how concerned they were about ESG. Quote, "I said the reason you're so concerned is you should have led the conversation," he said. No one is familiar with the industry's expertise in produced water and water management, he said, because the industry isn't telling its own story. It also isn't owning up to its failures, and if it doesn't do so, he warned, others will do so for the industry. Quote, "The extremes were built by people who don't pay attention to the whole picture," Peyton stated. "That will change when someone says, stop yelling, pay attention, and listen. See what's happening in ESG and lead us," end quote. "Get involved politically," he urged, "and not just by voting, but by talking with senators and congressmen." To successfully work with legislators, he advised being as specific as possible, pointing out not just a paragraph in a piece of legislation, but the specific language in a specific sentence in that legislation that should be changed. He concluded with four steps to moving to that radical middle so productive conversations can be held. Get serious about values and what you hold as values. Think win-win and seek a fresh understanding of other viewpoints and a better way to move forward. If choosing to combat extremists, be prepared to offend them and for them to come after you. And learn to be a fulcrum and find a way to balance viewpoints.
Hello, this is Michael reading another article from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Thursday, August 18th. Burleson files for MISD District 6 by Stuart Doreen. A second Midland ISD race will be competitive. Sarah Burleson filed Wednesday to run for Midland ISD's District 6 seat. Burleson will join Kerry McNeil in the race to replace Rick Davis, who announced he would not seek re-election. District 6 is one of the three MISD elections on November 8th. John Trashitti III remains the only person to file for District 5. Tommy Bishop, Reagan Inohohas, and Tim Learley are running for the District 3 seat. Elections on November 8th will include MISD Districts 3, 5, and 6, Midland College Places 1, 2, and 3, and City of Midland Mayor and Districts 3 and 4. The sign-up period to put a name on a local ballot continues through Monday. The City Secretary's office reported there weren't any new filers on Wednesday. Candidates on the city ballot are Lori Blong for mayor, Jack Ladd Jr. for District 3, and Amy Stretcher Burks and Jim Garetti in District 4. Three Midland College candidates have filed: Steve Kaiser in Place 1, Linda Cowden in Place 2, and G. Larry Lawrence in Place 3. Each are current members of the Midland College Board. All of Midland College's seats are at-large positions. Editor's note: profiles of Kerry McNeil, Tim Lairley, and Sarah Burleson are scheduled for an upcoming edition.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Community calendar. Community events. The destination will host its August open mic night from 7 to 10 p.m. Thursday. From singers and poets to comedians and actors, all talent is welcome and should maintain family-friendly content. A community-focused event, all ages and four-legged friends welcome. Participants can also expect food trucks, drinks, and games. 1705 West Industrial. Back with another Boss Babes Market, Summer Edition. Tall City Brewing Company will host women-owned and operated vendors and food trucks for an afternoon full of good friends, good times, and good finds. Local musician Casey Greathouse will be bringing the tunes. The fun starts at noon and runs until 4 p.m. Sunday at 3303 West Golf Course. Pecos and the Rooftops come back to their Permian Basin roots at 8 p.m. Thursday with a show at the Rusty Bucket. Hailing from Northeast Texas, the quintet met while in college in Lubbock and have been cranking out tunes since. Advanced GA tickets go for $15 at www.facebook.com/RustyBucketBBQ&Tavern/. Tickets will be $20 the day of. 3113 West Industrial. The annual Back to School Supplies Drive, hosted by Members Financial Federal Credit Union, will run through August 31st, taking donations of all sorts: pens, notepads, crayons, you name it. Contributions accepted Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., 3100 Sunburst Drive. The Midland Animal Shelter will host a low-cost drive-through and chip clinic Saturday. The vaccine and chip clinic will take place from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Animal Shelter, 1200 North Fairgrounds Road. The vaccines and services that will be offered are rabies, $5, dewormer, $5, microchip, $10, NexGard, $15, and parvo distemper bordetella, $15. Those attending are advised to enter on Cuthbert and follow the signs that will lead them to the back of the shelter. Things to do, see, and hear. Centennial Park. Music in the Park, The Croakin' Toads, Friday. Midland Community Theater. Summer Mummers at the Yucca Theater, Friday and Saturday, August 26th and 27th. Museum of the Southwest. Midland Downtown Farmers Market, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Saturday. Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Robert Earl Keen, World Tour of Texas, August 26th. Jay Owenhouse, August 27th. Charlie Crockett, August 28th. Windwalker Farms. YMCA Clay Shoot, Friday. Martin County Convent Clay Shoot, Saturday. Boy Scouts Clay Shoot, August 26th. Archway Outreach Clay Shoot, August 27th. The Horseshoe. Aaron Watson and Friends Birthday Bash at the Amphitheater, Saturday. Midland County Fair, August 25th and 28th. State Line Band, To Say Farewell to Drummer, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. This Saturday's bill at the destination will be more than a weekend gig for the State Line Band. The Midland crew announced this week via Facebook that drummer Patrick Quain will be hanging up his sticks as full-time beat keeper in order to spend more time with his family. Formed in 2003 by Quain, the local crew combines honky-tonk edge with rock and roll vibrations, creating dancehall-esque music and boot-scootin' bops. Yet with only four singles under their belt, State Line has opened for country icons such as Josh Turner, Pat Green, and Aaron Watson. Made up of Jody Dominguez, lead vocals, Hayden Vitera, producer, fiddle, vocals, Scott Zachek, bass, and Stan Scantling, steel guitar, the band won New Group Duo of the Year at the 2021 T3R Texas Regional Radio Report Awards. This old-school country gang encourages fans to come say farewell to Quain, State Line style. Doors open at 7 p.m. Pre-sale tickets are $15. If buying at the door, tickets will be $20. For more information about the band, visit their website, thestatelineband.com. At the destination, 7 p.m. Saturday, $15 pre-sale, $20 at the door. Watson, To Celebrate Birthday at the Horseshoe Arena Saturday, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Country singer-songwriter Aaron Watson makes another trip around the sun Saturday, and what better way to celebrate than with Permian Basin folks near and far at the Horseshoe Arena. Known for his can-do attitude and classic soulful Texas tunes, the Amarillo native has achieved many feats, such as being part of Billboard's top 10 country albums 5 times. Despite being a DIY artist, working without major corporate backing, Watson's 20-year career represents a lifetime of hard work and dedication to his craft. Tulsa-born artist John Wolfe and Houston's new kid on the block, Tristan Mares, kick off the show at 7:30 p.m. At a glance, Aaron Watson at the Horseshoe Arena, 7:30 p.m. Saturday. Tickets at MidlandHorseshoe.com. VIP experience. A $100 purchase includes a backstage club parking spot, exclusive viewing to the right of the stage, and access to the backstage club, shorter bar lines, seating area with tables and chairs, and private restrooms. General admission floor, $40. General admission lawn, $25. There will be general admission seating in designated areas of the lawn. However, lawn chairs are not allowed. Bring a small blanket the size of a beach towel. For VIP tables, call the Horseshoe at 432-682-1300. Small Bites. Garlic Press to Host Brunch by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Looking to mix up date night or want to spend the afternoon with your gal pals? The Garlic Press, 2200 West Wadley, number 6, will host a chocolate and champagne brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., August 26th. Tickets run $70 per person and can be bought at garlicpress.net/event/wine-dinner. The luxurious menu includes a starter of a chocolate crostini and roasted eggplant carbonara with caramelized onions, raisins, oven-dried tomatoes, capers, and Bahia chocolate. The drink pairing will be a typically dry Poema Brut Cava. Maine. A chicken pibil and moladas with pasilla chile mole, Tabasco chocolate sauce, sour cream, queso fresca, avocado, and sesame seeds. The drink pairing will be a fruity André Delorme Brut Rosé Cremant. Dessert is raspberry sorbet with passion fruit foam, white chocolate mint sauce, and cacao nib brittle. This drink pairing will be a Tapiz sparkling Brut Rosé of Malbec cocktail, which includes local Marabia craft chocolate bitters and raspberry puree.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, August 18th. William M. Mac Hibbets passed away peacefully on Saturday, August 13th. He was a longtime member of the Midland community, both professionally and personally. A visitation with family and friends will be held from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, August 19th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. The funeral service will take place at 2:30 p.m. Saturday, August 20th, at St. Nicholas Episcopal Church. Interment will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, August 22nd, in Fort Worth, Texas, at Evergreen Memorial Cemetery. He was born in Texarkana in 1925. In 1970, Dr. Walter Parks recruited Mac to come to Midland, where he joined the medical community. After attending a hospice conference in California along with three others, Mac was instrumental in starting Hospice of Midland. He served as the first medical director of Hospice of Midland and was influential in getting the Midland County Medical Society to become involved in the program. Along with his service to Hospice of Midland, Mac served two terms on the board of Manor Park. Mac is survived by his wife, Edna Brown Hibbets, his daughter, Edna Wright, his sons, William Porter, and John, as well as several grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his twin brother, John, father, William, mother, Catherine, sister, Frances Kittrell, and niece, Kathy Pettifer. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mother Willie Mae Colvin Graves, aged 95, of Midland, was born February 12, 1927, in Burton, Texas. Her parents were Alec and Caroline Thomas. Her grandparents were Walter and Julia Brown of Washington County. She came to Midland, Texas in 1945 with a husband, the late Alvin Colvin Sr. of Giddings, Texas, and they were married for 24 years. Mother Willie Mae Colvin Graves worked in housemaid services, and she did nurse's aide work under the late Dr. Viola Coleman. Later in the years to follow, she remarried Leroy Graves. The marriage was short-lived, and she became a widow. Mother Graves served faithfully her church and the community. She was a Bible researcher of the Word of God and loved to do arts and crafts of the Holy Tabernacle. Eventually, after reaching a golden age, her physical body abilities became limited. She served at the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church while under Bishop Barak Stanford. Later in her declining years, she became a member of the Parks Memorial Church of God in Christ of Odessa, Texas, where her son, the elder Roy L. Colvin Sr., serves as pastor. She leaves to cherish her memory beloved daughters Mary Helen Freeman and Joy Lynn Cleeter, four sons, Alfred Colvin Jr., Tommy Lee Colvin, Elder Roy Lee Colvin Sr., and Daniel Webster Colvin, and a host of three generations of grandchildren. Mother Willie Mae Colvin Graves was preceded in death by her mother, Caroline Gentry, and brothers Johnny Harris, Eddie B. Harris, Clarence Thomas, and Curtis Thomas. Wake service will be held from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, August 18th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, August 19th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, August 18th. PBIOS Awards Scholarship Funds. Almost $300,000 in scholarship funds were awarded to five institutions by the Permian Basin International Oil Show Wednesday at the University of Texas Permian Basin Engineering Building. This year's gifts totaled $282,000, and the awardees were Odessa College, UTPB, Midland College, Desk and Derrick, and Texas Tech University. OC, UTPB, and MC received $80,000 each, Texas Tech received $35,000, and Desk and Derrick netted $7,000. This brings the grand total since 2007 to $1.4 million. Executive Director of the Permian Basin International Oil Show, Tony Fry, said one of the organization's articles in incorporation and bylaws is to provide education, information, and activities directly related to the oil and gas industry. We think it's very important that we jump in and try to help get the people coming up behind us trained and ready to go, Fry said. Larry Richards, PBIOS president for 2022-23, and past president Tommy Pipes made the presentation. The primary purpose of the PBIOS, which takes place during October in odd-numbered years, is to provide education, information, and activities directly related to the oil and gas industry. Since 2006, the PBIOS has steadily increased the gifts given to each institution. This year's donations bring the total to $1,480,000. The Permian Basin is where oil field innovation and technology pair with the entrepreneurial spirit and amazing work ethos of West Texas. The young men and women educated in our local colleges and universities play a vital role in the success of our industry and our region. The PBIOS board is honored to play a small role in helping these institutions continue to grow and prosper. We fund programs at each school that are critical for the future of innovation, which is urgently needed to meet the growing energy demands of our nation, Richard said in a news release. Richard said they are honored to provide these funds for these organizations. I don't think you guys realize the impact of our community and for our industry, and we sincerely appreciate it, and we're acknowledging that appreciation with a check, putting our money where our mouth is, Richard said. UTPB Dean of the College of Engineering, George Nana, said the scholarship was a great opportunity for students. With this scholarship, students can be supported for their tuition, and they can buy books and not worry so much about going to school and having a full-time job, Nana said. He added that more than 160 students have benefited from this, and that is amazing, because for the most part, they have graduated and are working in the Permian Basin community. With his contribution, Nana said, at least 26 to 27 students will benefit. Richard said it was a challenge to raise the funds this year because they had 3 years of expenses and only one show worth of revenues. And we chose to do it as a board of directors because we think that's really important for the community. But it wasn't an easy decision. So I was quite proud of our board that we chose to do that and maintain that same level. It would have been easy to say, oh, COVID, and that would have been the excuse why we didn't do that. But it does go directly back to our mandate of pouring back into the community and the industry, Richards said. Acceleration Academies hosts ribbon cutting. Acceleration Academies of Ector County hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony Wednesday featuring Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray along with Acceleration Academies, educators, and students who spoke from their own experience. The Academy is located in the Prosperity Bank Building, 620 North Grant Avenue, on the 6th floor. Our goal is that every ECISD student graduates from high school ready to take the next step in their life's journey, Mary said in a news release. This partnership with Acceleration Academies is powerful because it helps us re-engage with students who have already dropped out, and it gives them the support and flexibility they need to get back to school and be successful. Ector County students are finding success through the flexible, personalized approach provided by an agreement between ECISD and Acceleration Academies, the release said. One of those young learners is Alexis Legrone, a teen mom with a one-year-old son. Traditional school didn't work for her for a variety of reasons, including the difficulty she had balancing a normal school schedule with her other responsibilities. I had a job, I had school, and I had a baby, she said in the release. It was overwhelming. At EAA, she found quiet learning spaces, a schedule flexible enough to work around her other responsibilities, and ample support for her both as a student and a young mom, thanks to the collaboration between EAA educators and ECISD's Teen Parent-Related Services Program. At the end of May, she completed her coursework and earned the right to graduate and pursue her dream of becoming a nurse. Transferring to Ector Acceleration Academies has been the biggest blessing, she said. We are so proud of all that Alexis has accomplished, said EAA Director Virginia Hunt, a South Texas native and veteran educator. We are looking forward to other students joining her at our campus. We are so grateful for the support of Dr. Murray, Assistant Superintendent Alicia Syverson, and their colleagues in helping to make these young people's dreams a reality. The Ector Academy is part of a growing nationwide network of Acceleration Academies, which meet the needs of students who have struggled in traditional schools for a variety of reasons, including the need to work full-time or care for young children, the need for more one-on-one attention, or a desire to accelerate their studies in order to graduate early and move forward with a plan for college, military service, work, or athletic careers. Like all public school programs, EAA is free of charge and open to students up to age 21 who want to earn their high school diplomas. Odessan facing second murder charge. An Odessa man who pleaded guilty to shooting a man to death more than 20 years ago is now facing a murder charge in the death of his mother. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, Billy Joe Campbell, Jr., 59, was arrested in October after authorities launched an investigation in August. Upon discovering his mother's ribs, elbow, and wrist had been fractured and she'd sustained a subdural hematoma. Deputies also alleged Carol Ann Campbell had numerous abrasions, lacerations, and bruises. Campbell was arrested on suspicion of injury to an elderly person, a Class 2 felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan said after reviewing the case, his office recently sought a murder indictment for Campbell and were successful. If convicted, he is now facing a prison sentence of 5 to life. Campbell was booked into the Ector County Jail on Tuesday and is being held on a $75,000 bond. Ector County District Court records indicate Campbell was sentenced to 10 years in prison for murder in November 2001. Campbell admitted he shot Adrian Arenbias to death in August 1996. According to Odessa American Archives, Arenbias' body was found by hikers September 2, 1996, off the roadway north of University Boulevard and West Cliff Street. The 31-year-old had been shot in the head. His 1997 Jeep Wrangler was found in Ojinaga, Mexico. Arenbias had last been seen August 27, 1996, leaving the Midland restaurant where he worked as a waiter. Campbell and Thomas Urias were indicted in connection with the murder in November 2000. Urias testified at his trial. He and Campbell lured the victim to Campbell's home and shot Arenbias to steal his Jeep after he refused to give them the vehicle and report it as stolen. Urias said he owed a drug dealer $60,000 and the Jeep was a partial payment. The jury indicted Urias in less than an hour. He was sentenced to 48 years in prison. Campbell is also awaiting trial on a drug possession case. According to online records, Campbell is accused of possessing methamphetamine in October 2021. Quick hits, back-to-school COVID-19 vaccine clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a back-to-school COVID-19 vaccine clinic for ages 6 months and older from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each Thursday through August and September. Visit tinyurl.com/54DSK5SK. United Way Campaign Kickoff. United Way of Odessa Campaign Kickoff has been scheduled for 9:30 a.m. today at the Odessa College Salisbury Campus Amphitheater, 201 West University Boulevard. Guest speaker will be Austin Keith, followed by the 2022 campaign chair, Dewey Bryant. The annual fundraiser will include a time to mix, mingle, and enjoy refreshments. Founded in 1951, United Way of Odessa supports local programs that impact the lives of one in every three Odessans. Currently, United Way of Odessa partners with 16 local partner agencies and 21 programs providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. The United Way also provides additional funding through venture grants. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, call Andrea Martin or Serena Banuelos at 432-332-0941. Burgers for Mike. The Professional Police Officers Association has scheduled Burgers for Mike from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn A, 4201 Andrews Highway. Plates are $10 and include a cheeseburger, chips, cookie, and a drink. Take it to go or dine in. Proceeds will benefit Corporal Mike Troglin and his fight against cancer. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/2S46WEWW. Raise the Stakes Fundraiser. United Way has scheduled Raise the Stakes Fundraiser starting at 5 p.m. today at the legendary Barn Door Steakhouse, 2140 Andrews Highway. United Way fights for the health, education, and self-sufficiency of Ector County and the surrounding service region residents by funding local programs ranging from counseling and family training to early education development to support our homeless and elderly community. A percentage of the evening sales will go to United Way. Visit tinyurl.com/2YKBF4RC. Pecos and the Rooftops, Dos Amigos, 4700 North Golder Avenue, has scheduled Pecos and the Rooftops to perform today. Doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets are $15. For tickets or information, visit dosamigos.com. Community partners teaming up for Library Card Sign-Up Month. Celebrated Austin-based artist Heidi Pitrie returns to the Permian Basin with her exhibit of library card art. A press release from the Ector County Library detailed a permanent record repurposes vintage author-themed library cards into unique artworks that celebrate the written word. Pitrie's work will be exhibited at the Ector County Library first floor from September 6th to November 19th. A special reception will be held for Pitrie as well as new library director Howard Marks at 5:30 p.m. September 16th on the first floor. Pitrie will also hold a library card art workshop at 2 p.m. September 17th at the Ector County Library. The reception and artwork are both free of charge and open to the public. This will coincide with September's Library Card Sign-Up Month. If a person doesn't have a card, the Ector County Library highly encourages them to apply for one at no charge. The Ector County Library is partnering with Odessa Arts, the Writers League of Texas, and Friends of the Ector County Library for a special week of literary-themed events during Library Card Sign-Up Month. The Ector County Library was first established in 1938. It's free and open to the public, serves all ages, has an extensive collection of 200,000 printed books, more than 20,000 e-books, nearly 100 databases, and serves a population of more than 160,000 people locally and regionally. Local author to headline story time at Music City Mall. The Music City Mall is set to present Storytime on the Carousel Stage, featuring local children's book author Rosie Talley, a press release stated. Children will be able to hear the heartwarming story of Linus the Troll, who teaches us that appearances can be deceiving. Storytime is scheduled for 2 p.m. September 3rd on the Carousel Stage and is free and open to the public. Kids will enjoy a live reading of the book, a special song, and a kids' Q&A session moderated by CBS 7 news anchor Mary Kay Hamilton. Stick around for kids' coloring after or to purchase a book. More details at musiccitymall.net. Originally from a small farming community in southeastern Colorado, Talley resides in West Texas with her husband and daughter. Rosie is the author of Linus the Troll. Ever since childhood, Rosie has had a passion for storytelling. She looks forward to sharing more of her stories in the future. As a troll, Linus naturally displays physical characteristics that could appear menacing. Underneath the rough hide of Linus Troll, readers discover that despite appearances, a friend like Linus is hard to find. Local News Roundup. DPS reports nabbing heroin meth. A Texas Department of Public Safety trooper who spotted a motorist blowing a stop sign ended up making an arrest and seizing crystal methamphetamine and black tar heroin. According to a DPS report, the trooper saw the driver of a Dodge pickup truck disregard a stop sign on Fortune 500 Avenue on Monday and pulled him over. An environmental police officer from Ector County stopped to assist and began to act as an interpreter for the trooper. The trooper indicated in his report that the driver, identified as Juan Antonio Carrillo Gonzalez, 28, appeared nervous, and when he asked to step out of the truck, he took off northbound on Fortune 500. The truck became airborne after crossing FM 2020 at a high rate of speed and wrecked after hitting a telephone pole. According to the report, Gonzalez ran off on foot but was located underneath a nearby house. He was arrested with the help of a canine officer after ignoring commands to come out. A search of the truck turned up crystal meth and black tar heroin, and Gonzalez was arrested on suspicion of manufacturing or delivering of a controlled substance more than 1 gram, less than 4 grams, and a second charge alleging the amount was more than 4 grams, but less than 200 grams. One of the drug charges is a first-degree felony, punishable by a prison sentence of 5 years to life. After being checked out at Medical Center Hospital, Gonzalez was also booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of evading arrest with a vehicle, evading detention, and resisting arrest or search. As of Wednesday, he remains in custody on surety bonds totaling $79,500. Woman arrested on suspicion of assault. A 51-year-old woman who told an Ector County Sheriff's Office deputy she'd been assaulted was arrested herself Tuesday. According to an ECSO report, deputies received a 911 call around 12:30 p.m. Tuesday from the 1000 block of East Shira, and when they arrived, Tamara Lynn McClinton said she'd been assaulted by a 61-year-old man, but she didn't have any injuries. Deputies found and interviewed the man at the home he shares with McClinton on East Glen. According to the report, he told deputies McClinton hit him in the face with a pipe and used the pipe to break a porch light and dent a dog dish. Deputies noticed a fresh knot near the man's left eye and saw the damaged porch and dog dish, the report stated. McClinton was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a Class 2 felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. She remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday with a $20,000 surety bond. Online jail records show McClinton has been arrested several times on suspicion of public intoxication, driving while intoxicated, and domestic violence. First day of school, data sharing agreements shared. Some 33,500 students are projected to attend Ector County ISD schools this year, according to an update given by Superintendent Scott Murray during the Board of Trustees meeting Tuesday. So far, there are 32,712 students. A total of 27,905 meals have been served, 2,436 help desk calls and tickets, 58 teacher vacancies, and 5,326 students riding the bus. Murray said that will continue to increase. In 2021-22, there were 32,031 students, 22,373 meals served, 4,306 help desk calls, 70 teacher vacancies, and 1,870 students riding the bus. This year, ECISD hired 422 students, and there are 58 vacancies. There are 29 vacancies in elementary and 29 in secondary, Murray said. Some 7,296 breakfasts have been served and 10,497 total lunches. Murray said ECISD provides food to the early college high schools and the University of Texas Permian Basin STEM Academy. Murray said that ECISD is a growing district and they will start sending daily reports to trustees. Board President Steve Brown asked that the main pressure point was, and Murray said it continues to be the numbers. We have some families that have not sent their children to school in 2 years. We see that across the country still. Our pre-K numbers 3 and 4 are large, which is really good, Miri said. It was mentioned that the number of homeless students has increased. Miri said families have doubled and tripled up. He added that the economy is a big driver of homelessness. Assistant Superintendent of Student and School Support Alicia Siverson presented the request for approval to renew the optional flexible school day program. Siverson said it's an annual request. Currently, ECISD's graduation rate is the highest it's been in a long time. Siverson said there are students impacted by COVID who had to go to work or are young parents and have prioritized that over school. To be an optional, flexible school day, students must be at risk of dropping out. Students may attend at their campus, Ector Acceleration Academy, or the Community Outreach Center. Students must be approved by the principal to attend and must attend 20 hours a week, 4 hours a day for full funding, Siverson said. She added that the district has partnered with Acceleration Academy to take students out of the Community Outreach Center. This year, there are 21 graduates, 9 continuers, 22 dropouts, and 2 left school for other reasons. Dropout leavers total is 54 at the Community Outreach Center. Ector Acceleration Academy currently has 150 students. This year, they had 16 graduates, 127 continuers, still working toward graduation, 7 dropouts, no non-dropout leavers. Between the Community Outreach Center and Acceleration Academy, 173 students were kept engaged, Siverson said. Students at the Community Outreach Center logged 292,482 minutes and 871,933 at Ector Acceleration Academy for a total of 1,164,415 minutes. The district also presented the Extra Mile Award to Lorraine Perryman. Lisa Wyman and Chris Cole were also winners, but could not attend Tuesday's meeting. The award was for their efforts to pass the failed May 2022 bond. Results on the bond were 61.45% or 478 votes against Proposition A and 38.55% or 3,003 votes in favor. On Proposition B, 64.75% or 5,043 voted against it and 35.25% or 2,746 voted in favor. There were 7,826 voters out of 82,257 or 9.48%. The split gavel award was presented to Tammy Hawkins to thank her for serving as president of the board. The announcement of NAMM Foundation Best Communities for Music Education Award was presented for the 8th year in a row. UIL Solo and Ensemble Contest winners Kendra Burton and Aiden Armendariz were recognized. Both attend Permian High School. Trustees approved the Quail Run Carbon Reinvestment Zone in the Pinwell area. Trustees Carol Gregg and Delma Avalos abstained. They expressed concern about the criteria for being a reinvestment property and why the board was being asked to designate the property as one. The board approved a data sharing agreement between Air Tutors and ECISD. Air Tutors is one of the 2 major players in virtual high impact tutoring. The only information being shared is MAP data, and it's to help personalize tutoring. The board also approved a data sharing agreement between Brown University, ECISD, and FEV Tutoring. Brown University will use the student data to evaluate ECISD's implementation of virtual high-impact tutoring. This research will test the models of virtual tutoring for efficacy and better understand barriers to effective implementation, potential for expansion and sustainability, including how high-impact tutoring impacted different subgroups within ECISD, the board recap said. Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction Lilia Nunez said about 5,000 students participated in virtual tutoring. The board also received a summary of the 2021-22 accountability ratings, which were released publicly on Monday. For the first time, ECISD earned a B from the Texas Education Agency, a result of the significant academic growth shown by students. The number of schools now rated A more than doubled from 3 to 7, the number of schools now rated B doubled from 6 to 12, and 5 schools grew from an F to a B. In 2019, half of ECISD's schools were rated D or F, and today half of ECISD's schools are rated A or B, the board recap said. Discussed panorama survey data from spring 2022. Specifically, the board looked at students' responses about school connectedness. School connectedness is the belief held by students that adults and peers in the school care about their learning as well as about them as individuals, the recap said. In spring 2022, 18,421 students from 37 schools, grades 3 through 12, completed the survey in class. The results showed 59% of those students feel connected to their school, up 2% from the previous spring, however, 2% below the school district's goals. The national figures dropped from 61% to 56% during the same time. In reviewing results, the district's focus will be on increasing students' sense of belonging to their school, the recap said. Retroactive personnel recommendations approved by the board are Jim Workman as principal of Booth Elementary, Travis Elementary, principal Ael Garcia, executive director of career and technical education Ryan Merritt, and Bowie Middle School principal Amy Russell. Trustees voted to approve Chris Stanley as the Texas Association of School Boards, TASB, delegate, and Tammy Hawkins as the alternative. The board also voted 7-0 to approve an updated agreement with the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards. ECISD partners with the National Board and the Permian Strategic Partnership to support a percentage of ECISD teachers in achieving national certification. 42 teachers are currently pursuing the certification with 40 more applicants this summer, a significant increase in the number of accomplished board-certified teachers will lead to increased student learning and enhanced instructional practice, collaboration, and community, among other things, the recap said.